Welcome again, dear sisters, to Return of the Priestess. It is such a joy to welcome you yet again to another conversation, another activation, another sacred gathering of our group together. Today, we have a very special guest. It is the High Priestess. She is the High Priestess of Bali. And before I introduce her formally and bring her on and have her guide us through her amazing story and some beautiful teachings on how we can develop a daily practice, as always, I'd like to ask us to take a moment to ground and center and become present with what's available for us here. So as always, I say, if it's safe to do so, you can close your eyes. And I invite you to place one hand on your heart, one hand on your womb space, and we'll take three breaths together. So let's begin by taking a nice deep breath in, drawing in the breath, filling your body with the life force energy, feeling your ability to come to this gathering around the earth, and exhaling to deepen into your present moment awareness. Good. And again, breathing in, letting that breath be the vehicle that lets you receive your own awareness, your own connection with your wise inner self. And then exhaling to release anything you're ready to release right now. And one more breath in. Really feeling yourself coming home to yourself. And release with the exhale. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So today we have Ida Resi Alit, who is the High Priestess of Bali. She's going to be talking with us about developing a daily practice. Before I bring her on, let me just give you her bio, some information about her, for those of you who don't know her, and I know a lot of you will know her. So Ida Resi Alit was ordained a High Priestess by the Council of Hindu Dharma in 2007, at the young, tender age of 21. This made her the youngest person to ever receive this official religious title. She is also the first woman in over 100 years to be granted this position, and one of the only people known throughout history to break the traditions of caste, as well as the decades of training required to hold this position. So, Ida, thank you so much for joining us from Bali today.
Thank you. Om Swatiatsu.
Om Swatiatsu, thank you. And just for our listeners to know, you'll notice there's a lot of sound when Ida speaks, and our apologies, she is in an open-air pavilion where she does her sacred work. And Bali, of course, has a lot of critters and a lot of insects that make noise. So please forgive us and bear with us. She has a special mic to overcome that as much as possible. Okay, so let us begin. So Ida, you have a fascinating story of how you came to be the youngest High Priestess in Bali. And I would love for you to share a little bit with the listeners who don't know your story, how that happened.
Yeah, that happened when I was 20 years old, when I just finished my high school. And my dream was, I just want to continue my education to university at the time, but the situation of my family economy, my uncle couldn't support my education. And my father passed away when I was 13 years old. Mm. So it was hard for me. But I didn't give up. So I make a plan or I tried to find a job, kind of find a job and then save money, make money and then continue my education. But everything was not like what I was expected. And then I was very sad when my uncle said that he couldn't support my education to university. I was so sad. And then I went to Sumatra, North Sumatra in Indonesia. I became a representative of Bali to introduce a culture tradition in North Sumatra for about 3 months. And then I back again, and I flew back to Bali after that. And then what have you do in Bali? It is life became hard again. And I tried, and then I heard about my mom cousin. His wife was in Bintan Island. Bintan Island is a close Singapore. So I went there in 2006, January 2006, and I do. My expectation was high there. I want to find job there. But when I was 3 months there, nothing happened. Mm. I stuck there. I wait, but I didn't find anything. So I felt I felt not good feeling, because I just stay with them and then eat and then no money, so I had to go back to Bali. And after that Bali, I tried again to find a job to make money, but didn't work at all. And then until my mom asked me to do maybe something. She said maybe I need a ceremony as tradition in Bali. I need a spiritual cleansing, and a spiritual cleansing that I did. And a Manku, my grand uncle is a Manku, is a holy man. So he did in one of temple in my village. And then what happened at the time when he is chanting and then bless me by holy water, maybe I think it was my emotional release, my emotional expression. I was cried, screamed, and I couldn't control that from that evening. And then some people watching me at that time, and then I hear people say, oh, she was drunk, but I wasn't in trance at the time. And then stopped. And then my grand uncle took me directly at that night to his friend, who his friend is a spiritual man. And after that, he did same thing. It happened again. I cried again, at this emotional release. And then after that, after the healing, they asked me, what do you want? He did ask me, what do you want? I just want to have a job. I want to continue my education. I just explained. And then at night was my first time I knew what, they advised me very good. They give me good advice, and then do meditation, do pray, and then that give me inspiration. And then I did. And then every night I went to my grand uncle's house, and then he has a small room, and I did a meditation there with him. And first time it was just normal. I didn't feel anything, but until I did like fourth time or fifth time, something happened in my stomach. I thought it was maybe like just stomach problem from food, but it happened very fast. It's something like a move around my stomach and up and down, like my breath, I couldn't breathe, and then my body stopped shaking. My body stopped shaking, and then I didn't know what. Yeah, I didn't know what to do, and it happened very fast, and then I just jumping. I didn't the jumping just chanting automatically, very fast. I didn't understand what I was chanting at the time. And then after that, maybe for a few minutes, and after that, just stopped automatically. And then my uncle said, and I opened my eyes, and then I said, it was my first time. I felt so good. I felt so relaxed, so harmonious, so peace in my life. And I'm so sorry. At that night, I start, I really impressed from my heart. So I did my practice disciplinedly and regularly. And I'm so sorry. I did my meditation, my prayer every day disciplinedly. And then during that meditation, I feel, I start to have experience with meditation. A woman came to me, and then one day I did meditation, and then the woman came to me. She gave me name, Maharishi Ali. And then, but first, I didn't know that name was different to me. And then with the Sanskrit, I asked, who is Rishi Ali? And then he said, be a priestess, do Madiksa ceremony. But at the time, I didn't know what Madiksa was. And then I thought Madiksa was just like a water purification, just like a blessing like my grand uncle did to me. And then, okay, I promised at the time, that's your name, and do Madiksa, and I promise I will do that. I promise I will die if I not do that. I don't know, just like that. And then after meditation, immediately I went to the grand uncle. So he was watching a TV, and I just saw up, and I was so excited. Grand uncle, do diksa for me, because I was seeing the diksa is just like a blessing to the water. And then he said, what? And then he turned off his television, and then he said, do you know what Madiksa is? And then he explained, Madiksa is ceremony to become high priestess. And I was I was shocked at the time. And then I thought from that, I was scared and confused. I didn't know what I was feeling at the time, and I stopped my practice. And then short story, because I stopped my practice, I don't know why, every day I got feeling scared. I just felt something around me, but I didn't see ghosts. I just feel scared. And then I told to my grand uncle, what happened with me? And then he was concerned about that, and then he told my family about the Madiksa. And then my family just, just forget about that, and I thought sorry also. And then they decide, my family make decision, they took me to the water temple, and we did a ceremony there, but not Madiksa ceremony, just cleansing. And he said, my family said, we from the social of our family, social status of family, we not priest family, and then impulsive, they just say like that. And then instead they say that they just took me to the temple to do water purification. And then after we did reconciliation, we did pray. We did pray together in our temple, in our family temple. And then I didn't remember what happened. And then I was chanting, and then suddenly I was collapsed. So they were waking me for start from like a 6:30 in the evening, and then until 12, I mean midnight, maybe 1 midnight, I still like a collapse. So because before they thought I was in front, so they wait, and then they check until 12. My body was like cold, like a dead body, and then he died. I think maybe I was in coma. I didn't see that. And then everybody in my family start panic. My family start panic and then call doctor, call hospital, but everything late, came late. And until, and then call my grand uncle and everything late. And until one of my uncle, he said, and then everybody was already out of, excuse me, out of the temple, and only two of my cousins in the temple. And then he just came inside to the temple and said, oh my God, what happened with my family? 7 years ago, you took her father, and then now you take her. Because when my father passed away, he was sleeping, and then he just died. Hmm. And then it really shocked us. And my family thought maybe something happened to me.
Yeah.
And then he said, if she alive again, we will make ceremony to her become a princess. And he was crying, very emotional. And then a few minutes later, after that, when he was not there, and then my cousin found my finger move again, and then they scream, oh, still alive again. And I didn't know what happened after that. And when my first time I opened my eyes, I felt wet, and then I couldn't hear, I couldn't talk, maybe I was paralyzed. I couldn't open my eyes normal, just like tear all the time. And then they moved me to my room, because already morning, like maybe full five in the morning. And then after that, took me more than 2 weeks to get normal again. And then after that, we went to my family took me to the Hindu Council in our agency to ask how to become a priest. And then first, people skeptic. Sorry. Even the leader kind of like, what do you know? What your ability? And I did it just automatically. I show my mudra. I spoke Sanskrit, and then I chanting. And then he asked,
wow,
how do you know that? Who is your teacher? How long you learn? And then, yeah, many questions. And then my brother and my grand uncle explained to him the story. And then he said, okay, find a 3 senior high priest to become your teacher to sign up the paper. And then because less than 1 month, we found 3 senior high priests to be my master. And then story, okay. And then we found, and then before the ceremony, before the initiation, 3 days before that, there are a formal interview, official for you, interview. They asked me, same 100 people watching me, and then what is your same question? I explained the Sanskrit, my mudra, mantra, everything, and then I passed all of the question. And then the last question they asked me, are you ready to get married?
Are you ready for what?
You cannot get married.
Oh, you can't get married. Ah.
And then I was shocked. Other people watching me at the time, and I didn't know what to do. And then the initiation in 3 days, and it was shocked me, but at the time I said yes, and I signed it. And then, okay, and then 2 days, the initiation happened. And but the person took me like 1 year, 2 years to really, you know, accept finding myself. Because, you know, you being a 20 years old, and then being a priestess, it's a different, you know, it's really a big difference.
Yes.
And but that's the beginning, my practice every day. You know, I, in the morning, I see the sunrise, that's the beginning, make a sound and water, that's the beginning. The practice comes to me naturally. And then, short story, I did my practice, and but 2017, I made decision to get married, and I flew to U.S. for my first time, 2017.
When is that? In 2017? Yeah, you flew to the United States, and you did get married? Wait, explain that again?
Yeah.
You did?
Get married. Okay. I did get married. Okay. And can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. There's a lot of the incense smoke is going across the screen, but it's kind of cool actually.
Yeah, I get married, and then I know one of I mean, and then in 2018 I flew back to Bali. 2018, I flew back to Bali, and people kind of like, you know, in Bali, men, high priest can marry, but woman, I don't know, because maybe also because it was first time happened to me, so it's hard for people, you know, like I broke the rule.
Yes. Yeah, you broke new ground. So you're saying the Balinese high priests, the men are allowed to marry, but they're saying that as a woman you weren't allowed.
Yeah.
So then you came back in 2018, and so have they now we're 2 years since then. Are they accepting you more now that you're married?
Yeah. I'm my processing Bila Ashram.
You built an ashram.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The new, because being a priestess, you cannot travel at all too, like I did.
Ah.
And then I want to know the world. I want to, I born in Bali, I grew up in Bali, with my culture, with my tradition, I also want to explore. So it took me many years to make decision, and I felt like kind of like get married. Why I cannot get married?
Right.
Yeah. It took me many years, to rise your power, your energy to make decisions. Because it's not easy, you know, not easy when you face the tradition and people. I knew people will judge you. I knew people will maybe mad. I knew everything will change. But if I just stay, then I cannot move. I mean, I cannot move my life.
Yeah.
You know, because... because during the experience, you know, I have a meeting people, see priests, even high priest men can have three wives. They still high priest. Why can't I get married?
Yeah.
Because I'm a woman. And I mean, I respect the rule, but I feel something, you know, in my heart.
Yes. Yeah. So now, so you are building an ashram or you have, is it finished already?
Still processing. Yeah.
Still processing. So at the ashram, will you be bringing groups or individuals or what will you do?
My ashram, my mission of my ashram, I want to invite every year, I want to create a conference. So conference for international people to invite all the leaders, you know, to talk about how, what we can offer to put in the world.
Mm. You know?
And then every 6 months, my mission, this is really my goal, I would like to invite a woman around the world, like a woman conference in my ashram to talk about, how to raise up your power as a woman, you know? And then it's not woman, as woman as a feminine energy, because feminine energy is a power.
Yes. Yeah.
This power, how we can offer to the world as a woman, how, what we can think about that, what we can do, what we can, how we talk about that. So I really wanna, and of course I, you know, I need many support, many help, and many idea from, you know, I'm open for people, for the woman around the world. So let we do together. Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, that's super exciting. And I will definitely want to talk with you about that more. And I'll be there in June or July this year. So I hope to see you in person then. Just quickly, an aside, you probably wouldn't remember, but I actually came and was blessed by you in your family compound there in 2016 after the Awakened Woman Conference.
Okay.
Yeah, so just about maybe 2 weeks after that conference, I came. One of my friends told me about you. So I have the personal gratitude of you being here as well. So I wanted to ask you, Ida, before we go on to the final piece here, is for you to share a little bit with the women who are listening, how to develop a daily practice. Tell us a little about your daily practice and what that includes and what you might share with women to more empower their own feminine energies too.
So my daily practice is, let me share my daily practice every day. So I do my pray every morning, every day. So the intention of my prayer is to the sun and to the mother earth. Why to the sun? Why to the sun? Because sun gives us light, energy. Sun is and to the mother earth. This is what my purpose. So every morning I see the sun, but if even you cannot see the sun, every morning you can just do in your room, in your building, and then just put the intention. The sun for your power, and then also to the mother earth, to the earth. This is my purpose. So every morning I do a chanting to the sun. I do my yoga with my sound. So I practice every day to make a sound. So I pick the sound from your base chakra.
Mm.
And then a sound can help you to clean or you to purify your emotional body. and then after purify that the system of the system automatically after emotional purify, and then you will create connection to the spirit. Your inner soul, your inner spirit will connect to the universe, the spirit. And then you will chanting. You feel that, and then water in front of you and flower in front of you, any flower. Why flower? Let me explain. Because flower is represent of a beauty, and only flower have an essence. The essence of a flower is symbol of purity. Symbol of pure. That's why I always, when I pray, I always have a flower. And then just put flower in your water. And then after you do your movement, like breathing, make a sound, move yoga, chanting, and then the flower, the water, I do by myself, my practice by myself. I bless myself by water with a flower. With a flower. And then before that, I chanting first. But if you cannot chanting, it just say what you want to say in your language. And then after that, and then bless, wash your face and your head, and just feel like, yeah, that's my practice for clarity.
Beautiful. And would you tell us a little bit about how you do the melukat for other people, the blessing for other people?
Yeah, I do melukat for the people. Let me tell you a little bit story about melukat. So melukat is like a shower.
Like a shower.
Yeah, like a shower. Yes. If you take a shower, you clean your physical body.
Yeah.
Melukat or water purification is for your soul. For your soul, for your emotional body, for your mind body, for your spirit body. So that's the purpose of melukat or water purification. And let me explain your story a little bit. After my initiation, like 5 or 6 people came to me. Just like 2-3 hours after my initiation, it was raining at the time. And they asked me, I want to bless you. I do melukat. And then at that time, I just be a priest three hours ago. I didn't know what I have to do. But I couldn't say no. And okay, and then I took them to the temple. I chanting. I do melukat. And then first, because normally in Bali people do melukat with just a little bit of water. But when I did a little bit, and they start like something like moving, and I was conscious because they can like react like, oh wow, like intense. But so I need more water. So like totally like a shower. That's and then after that I asked them, and then he said, oh, thank you so much. I feel good. I feel better. Because automatically at the time, kind of like a burden, a trauma, maybe, sadness, or kind of like how some people maybe hold some trauma, sadness, burden for many years, maybe also, you know, for a long time, and then this can just release.
Yeah. So are you saying that normally the melukat ceremony is not with all that water the way you do it? It's
And then that happened because five people came to me and then they kind of like react like that, and I asked, I don't know, naturally I asked more water.
Yeah, and that's what I remember too, is standing underneath you. You were up on the platform and you're pouring water over me and telling me to stomp and, you know, to get everything out. And for me, I just want to share this with you and also with our audience. So this was the purification initiation for me personally that brought me back to my priestess path after many years of just being secret about it. And I had things to let go of, and I really felt that you felt like you were encouraging me to let something go, like you could feel it. So yeah, but all this time I thought, well, that's just what Malakut water purification is. It's lots and lots of water. I didn't know that that was like something special that you brought. Wow. Yeah, it's powerful. So, okay, so just to kind of wrap things up now, is there anything you would share with our audience of how they might be able to do this for themselves at home, especially if they're not in Bali where flowers and water are abundant?
Yeah. Well, when you, wherever you are, just when you do your practice, your spiritual practice or meditation, just put water in front of you, water with a bowl, and then any flower, rose or kind of like what any flower you have. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have, it's okay. Also, if you didn't have flower, because I know it's not easy to get flower sometimes. Yeah. And just put in the front of you that any of the crystal that you feel your connection, just put in the altar, and then meditation. You can deep breath, just do your practice, and then after the end of your practice, take the water and say, and anything you want to say, anything you want to, or just purify myself, all of your burden, all of the negative energy, just say what you want to say from your heart. And then after that, bless yourself with the water. Even you can drink. You can drink with this three times.
Okay.
And then after that, and then you will wash your face and all for your head, and then clean. And after you do that, back again to meditation. Mm-hmm. For a few minutes, breathing in and breathing out. If any emotion, if any emotion come out, if you feel any emotion, just let it be, let it go. Don't hold it. Just let it go. If anything, if your body wanna move or something, just let it be. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And I so look forward to connecting with you when I'm there in the summer. And for those who would like to connect with you, they can go to your website, right? It's idaresialit.org.
Yes.
Great, great. Well, it has been such an honor to have you. Is there anything you want to share to conclude here before we end this interview? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, well, when during the water purification, good if you can take a deep breath and then try to make a sound like a say, oh, just try to make a sound, because sound can sound give you. And raise up your energy. And also I would like to invite all of the women in the world. Maybe you can do a pray for 1 minute, 2 minutes. I will chant things, and everybody can close your eyes.
Right now, you mean? Okay, yep.
Right now, just for 1 minute. Let we pray for the world, for the situation right now. The world situation right now, we sending love and sending pray for the world, for the Mother Earth. Take a deep breath from your nose and out from your mouth. Breathing in deep from your nose and out from your mouth. Om Puja Namo Vishnu, Puja Namo Vishnu. Wa Paramo Vishnu, Sangyang Buddha Narayana. Wa Ludra Kwankamar Chayo Atmaniru Parasamaning Vishnu. A Pancha Sakti Rasikanu Mamurti. Waratu Yang Devidanu. Waratu Yang Maharasiganu. Waratu yang surya melabur roh persamaning Buddha kala. Wang kamaritayu atmaniru persabda guru. Yukhaham siwa Buddha. Wang karu yinamah suahku. Waradayu atmaniru bodhisattvam dharma sang Buddha. Apramanitya gangga manaram brahman aswarga widya pramusiti gana. Amukti Ganapati Swaha Vidya, Om Mahamantram Sudamala Jagat, Santi, Santi, Santi Om, Wongkara, Yuhaham Yinamah Swaha.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It has been really a pleasure to have you with us today. And I wish you all the very best with your ashram. And yes, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Please.
Thank you. And thank you, sisters, for joining us. May you feel the blessings of this beautiful gathering here today and the blessings from Ida Resi and from Bali. Much love to you. Please join us in the Facebook group. Share your reflections on your experience here, and we'll see you on the next call.